I want you to be turning with me, please, to Acts chapter number 12. Acts chapter number 12. This chapter records the death of James, the brother of John, and the imprisonment, I should say the brief imprisonment, of Simon Peter. Herod was stretching forth his hands to vex certain ones of the church. Now the enemy may not attack but a few at a time, but he certainly loves to get his hands on God's people. Of course, we know he can't do anything that God doesn't allow him to do. We rest on the everlasting arms. We lean on the everlasting arms. What I'd like to do tonight is just read a few of these verses and then go to the Old Testament and take my text and come back and illustrate it in these verses. Some years ago, I preached about 10 or 12 sermons on New Testament texts and Old Testament illustrations. Not long ago, the Lord roused my heart to look at some Old Testament texts with New Testament illustrations. I'd like to do that tonight. Let's look at the illustration first of all. Let's begin reading in verse number one. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter or Passover week to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. The angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. When she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told Peter how Peter stood before the gate. They said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. That's my New Testament illustration. Now, if you want to turn, you can. If you want to just listen, you're very familiar with my text. My Old Testament text reads, Jeremiah 33:3. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I want to preach for a few minutes on this Old Testament text, this New Testament illustration, and the subject, an encouragement to prayer. An encouragement to prayer. I think all of us will admit we need that encouragement in this hour. We know God must stir us up to pray. But sometimes He uses the Word to stir us up, as well as His Spirit. The older I get, the more I look back over my life. And lately I have enjoyed meditating upon some of the people that God has used to touch my life. The night that I got right with God at 16 years of age, my pastor said to me, "I'll be over to pick you up in the morning at 6:30 and we'll go pray. Is that okay?" Well, how are you going to tell your preacher that it's not okay to come at 6:30 in the morning? And at 6:30, his little Fiat horn went off. And I throwed a coat around me and went on out. And we went over on top of a little mountain. And he said, "I'm going to read a chapter of the Bible." And he read Hebrews 11 that first time. I found out through other experiences of prayer that he was rather drawn to that chapter. After he read through Hebrews 11, he said, "Tommy, you go on over here and find your place to pray, and I'm going to pray here." Well, you can rest assured I finished a long time before he did. That was my initiation into intercession and the longings of a soul before God as that dear man of God cried out to God. I've not learned as much about prayer as I need to learn. But I'm grateful for the lessons that I've learned watching him and listening to him. I want to learn more about prayer, but I find that I don't agree with everything I hear about prayer. Yet if you say things, people think you're being sarcastic or a know-it-all. But let me just say one word about prayer that I disagree with. The idea is that prayer changes things. Now, some of you perhaps have read the Bible more than I have, but I've not found that in the Bible. I have found that God changes things. And He may set people to praying as He prepares to make some changes. But prayer is not the deliverer. God is the deliverer. Yet he often stirs our hearts to cooperate with him in this matter of prayer. I want to know more how to do that. Jude talked about praying in the Holy Ghost. I'd like to know more about that. And praying effectual fervent prayers, as James called them. He said they avail much. But here in these verses, we have a wonderful, vivid illustration of this matter of God hearing and answering prayer. Call unto me, he said, and they called unto him. And I'd like to just walk down through the text, phrase by phrase, and then parallels some of these phrases with the phrases of our text. Again, the text, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I want to begin with that phrase, call unto me. We're told that prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him, for Simon Peter. You'll notice the phrase in our text has to do with the direction of our prayer. Call unto me. And the illustration says prayer was made without ceasing unto God. Now, unfortunately, we've all heard prayers that we felt like were prayed to someone else in the congregation. And I have heard prayers that I felt like were rebukes instead of prayers. Lord, you know there's some people here tonight that needs, and then they would describe the situation. Well, you better believe he knows it. But we don't have to pray to one another. Prayer is to be directed toward God and God alone. So I would call this the privilege of prayer. Call unto me. And they called unto God. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Yes, there are times when it seems that it is a burden. And it involves a heaviness. And our approach is slow. And we're hesitant as we move Godward. But still it's a privilege. Whether it seems to be blessed with wings and we find ourselves immediately in God's presence, or where it's laden with heaviness and we move slowly into that arena. But the truth is, it's a privilege to talk to God. Can you imagine the likes of you and the likes of me can approach the likes of God? We know it's only through the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Call unto me. That's the privilege. And they exercised their privilege and moved Godward in prayer. Then the Lord said in our text from Jeremiah 33, not only call unto me, but he added, and I will answer thee. And I will answer thee. I'm going to call this the promise of prayer. And as these folks were praying over at John Mark's mother's house, God was enacting an answer to this prayer. God was setting in motion an answer to this prayer, or to these prayers. Peter was in prison. They're praying. Herod has brought him, or had him brought into the prison. I don't know how to interpret this, except Peter's rest was not in his circumstances. He was sleeping between two soldiers. Some nights I can't sleep and there are no soldiers. But he's sleeping between the two. And another one is keeping the door of the prison. But don't worry about Simon Peter. Prayer has been made unto God in his behalf. And God said, call unto me and I will answer thee. And he has set in motion an answer to these prayers. Where do you see that, Tom? Verse number 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. And a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side. Had to wake him up. Get him out of his dilemma. Most of us have to be awakened. But not because we're at rest, but because we have become somewhat blinded by the enemy and by our own circumstances. But the Lord said, I will answer thee. And so he sends an angel down to set in motion an answer to the prayer. I would like to encourage someone tonight, whether your prayers are constant about a certain matter or whether or not they are offered from time to time, if your heart is set on him and God has brought you to this place of desperation in prayer, you can believe this, God hears and answers prayer. I have no difficulty underlining that principle. God hears and answers prayer. I probably have told this here before, but a dear elderly lady that God put in my life the year that her husband died was a woman by the name of Mrs. Laddie Davis. She lived about an hour from where I live, and she took it on her heart and her life to pray for me daily. In fact, on one occasion, when I was sending out my itinerary, I had failed to send out the mail. I was behind about 2 weeks. And she called me. And she said, Brother Tom, I haven't got your schedule. I said, no, Miss Laddie, I've got behind. There's just one of me. And I'm trying. God willing, you'll get it this coming week. And she broke on the phone. And she said, well, I don't mean to fuss. But she said the children gave me an atlas of the states. And she said, I find that little town where you're preaching. And I pray for the town. And then you name the church on your schedule. I pray for the church and the pastor. And I pray for that meeting while you're there the whole time. I said, Miss Laddie, I'll send you a whole year ahead of time. Oh, boy, what a dear soul. I went by to see her on one occasion, and she was getting a little age on her. Her voice was beginning to sort of squeak, sort of high-pitched. And she said, oh, Brother Tom, I'm so glad you came by. I wanted to tell you what happened down at the neighboring church last week. Well, I knew the neighboring church didn't have the same stripes as her church where she went, but she could care less. She was just interested in what God was doing. May the Holy Ghost help us with that. At any rate, I said, well, what did the Lord do, Miss Laddie? She said, a 70-year-old man was saved there last Sunday. I said, praise God, that is wonderful. Thank you for telling. Well, that wasn't all I wanted to tell you. She said his 90-year-old mother was in the service. And she's real feeble. But when she saw that her son was praying, she scuffed down to the front of the church. She said, I wasn't there. They just told me what happened. And she had her little hanky in her hand. And she said, while he was praying, she was just going scuffing around saying, woo! 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 And here's Miss Letty's observation. She said, "Brother Tom, wasn't it wonderful that the Lord let that dear woman live long enough to see an answer to her prayer about her boy?" Listen. I can promise you God hears and answers prayer. But I cannot promise you that you'll see all your prayers answered before you leave this world. Some may follow in days to come. God may use people we didn't even know in the lives of these for whom we pray. But I want to tell you, the God of prayer said, "Call unto me and I will answer thee." Answer thee. I wish some heart would embrace that tonight. I will answer thee. Then this next little phrase, I'm having to sort of force it a little bit. You'll forgive me, won't you? God said, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee." I'm going to give you some light, he said. I'm going to show you some things. And as this angel appeared in verse 7, a light shined in the prison. Now I look later at that experience that Paul and Silas had in Philippi. And the jailer there called for a light. No doubt they brought a torch to him, lit a torch and brought it to him. But nobody called for a light here. But God gave light in the midst of answering prayer. Oh, brother. I believe if God lays something on our heart about which we intercede and petition God, I believe He is able to bring the light, truth, and the need of others' own hearts to them. He's able to open their eyes and show some great and mighty things. Now let me add this. I have known people in my little journey who were not educated thoroughly. I'm thinking about my old Sunday school teacher. He graduated from the fourth grade. He just about drunk himself to death. He was converted in his middle 40s. And he had such an insatiable appetite for the Word of God. He literally taught himself to read by reading the Bible. They put him over the teenage class. I happened to be in that class when he began to teach us. And he would mispronounce words and then he would try to say them again. And then he would weep while he taught. And then when he prayed, I could tell he had us on his heart. I didn't have much of a heart for God at that time. But God was working in me. And I watched that man later on when God had called me to preach. I heard that they had asked him to teach the adult men's class. And I thought, that's interesting. Here's a man that couldn't even read. And he has so studied the scriptures and taught that young people's class. Now God has exalted him and promoted him. And he's teaching the adult men class. And there were Sundays that maybe I'd have a cancellation or would end up being there. And I got to hear my teacher teach again. I just stood amazed. I stood amazed at how he taught the Word of God. Here's what I believe was happening. As he prayed, God gave him light. Somebody said, "Well, I don't think I can ever understand the scriptures like other people." Perhaps not, but I want to tell you, God can give light. Oh, that we might pray. That we might pray for one another. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee." I've had this happen. I'm sure the pastor has as well. I've preached. And people have told me, "We didn't know what direction you was going in, which You know, it sort of bothered me. I thought I'd made it pretty clear what I was going to say, but they said we couldn't figure out which way you were going. But after you got into the message, I saw it. God gave some light, you see. God gave some light. I'm thinking about my early years. There were times when I felt like I was being pushed faster than my spirit was developing spiritually. And I was on church platforms that I look back now and marvel, what in the world was I doing there? But God was opening the door and I was trying to walk through it. But many days, because of my fears that I would say something wrongly, and because I wanted to know truth, I studied before the sun came up until just a few minutes before church, trying to find the mind of God and trying to learn the truth so I could aptly deliver the truth. It doesn't just happen. But he said, if you'll call unto me, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Which brings me to the fourth emphasis. You have the privilege of prayer. Call unto me, and they called. And I will answer thee, the promise of prayer. And God sent an angel to set in motion an answer to their prayers. And show thee. That's the proof of prayer. God gives light where there's genuine intercession. Fourthly, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee what? Great and mighty things. Oh, I've had a time with this in my own heart. Great and mighty things. Though my prayers at times are so anemic, I feel like I'm not even doing much praying because they sound so anemic and so elementary. And yet God said, you may not pray great and mighty prayers, but I'm going to show great and mighty things. Brother, I believe I can run in the strength of that for 40 days and 40 nights. Amen. Now, there's some great and mighty things here. First of all, he sleeps between two soldiers. God gave him rest. And then there's one, the keepers before the door. And then the angel comes in. You know there had to be some kind of rustling, some moving around. He pokes Simon Peter in the side and tells him to rise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Reckon there was a little noise when they hit the floor. And God was doing great and mighty things. We're told that the angel told him to gird himself, put on his sandals, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And at first, Simon Peter thought he was seeing a vision. I'll get back to that in a minute. They went past the first ward and through the second ward, and they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. Sorry, ladies, the gate's called, given with a male reference here. The gate opened of his own accord. I love that reference in the book of Acts, when Luke described the storm, that the Euryclidean storm that Paul and company got into, he said, when we'd cast everything off the ship, we let her drive. And some of us might want to say, oh, Brother Luke, you better watch out. At any rate, the gate, the main gate of the prison opened up of his own accord. No key, no special pass, no card to enter in, a little entry box. The gate just swung open. Great and mighty things. I want to tell you, God can open doors that no man can shut, and he can shut doors that no man can open. Here, the prison door swung open. Simon Peter and the angel walked out. I went to Bible college with a dear brother from Africa by the name of Solomon Owolabi. Solomon was the son of a chieftain tribe, or a tribal chief. And the missionary in that area had spoken to him and found Solomon very easy to talk to, and he gave him the gospel. The gospel worked in Solomon's heart, and he came back to the missionary and he pointed him to Christ. Solomon was saved. The missionary felt like he had great possibilities, and so his dad had already backed away from him. By the way, Solomon had the marks to be the next tribal leader. But his dad, when he made his profession of faith, when he said he was a Christian, his dad rejected him. And so the missionary, seeing the need, tried to raise some funds and get him a ticket and send him to the States to Bible college. We worked together and served together. What a blessing he was. I talked to him this past summer. He was here in the States. At any rate, Solomon told me, here, this might give you an idea of where he came from. He went in to take a shower one day. They told him, he said, I need to take a bath. They said, the shower is in here. Well, in the men's shower stall, there was just showers all the way around the wall. And instead of Solomon getting in front of one of the showers, he went around and turned them all on and got down in the little creek that he had stirred up. And was splashing water on him when I went in. I cleaned that shower and that bathroom every day. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm taking a bath. And I showed him, you know, how to do it. That was his background. And he said to me one day, Brother Tom, did I tell you about what happened to me in New York when I first came to the States? I said, no, Solomon, you didn't tell me that. Oh, he said, Jesus worked a miracle for Solomon. He said, I got off the plane, I got my luggage. I put my big box on top of my head. I had a suitcase in one hand and a suitcase in another. And he said, I'm walking down this long corridor and I see glass doors. He said, it looked like some went through. The door opened and they went through. And he said, here I was walking down the corridor and I was praying, oh Jesus, I have no way to open the door. I have a suitcase in both hands. I have a box on my head. Oh, Jesus, you must help Solomon. You must help Solomon. He said, Brother Tom, I got about 10 feet from the door, and the door just came open. He had passed by the electric eye. I never told him any difference. I want to tell you, brother, God can open doors when you think that the door cannot be opened. And so Simon Peter saw great and mighty things. Oh, that God would somehow give us an incentive to pray. But Brother Tom, you don't know the situation. No, but I know the great and mighty King can do great and mighty things. He can do the supernatural. Then the last phrase of our text, Jeremiah 33, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Here it is, which thou knowest not. You had no idea that he was doing it. That seems to be Simon Peter's case. They're praying for him. And he's getting out of prison and he thinks he's having a vision. Great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And he got to John Mark's mother's house and knocked at the door and said, let me in, let me in. And little Rhoda, you know that name Rhoda means rose. Wasn't she a rose in God's garden? She came to the door and heard him. And she ran with gladness to tell all the praying folks, Simon Peter's at the door. And they said, thou art mad, which thou knowest not. I've prayed some prayers like that and couldn't believe it when God answered it. Great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And then she went back and affirmed it. Oh, it is Simon Peter. They said, well, it may be his angel. Seemed like their faith was about as weak as yours and mine. But God delivered Simon Peter. They were astonished when they saw him. God had wrought great and mighty things. I would like to encourage some heart tonight in this matter of prayer. God's not looking for beautiful prayers. He's just listening for desperate hearts that cry out unto him. Aren't you glad Simon Peter didn't try to pray one of our pretty little Sunday school prayers? Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, it's so good to be back out here on the Sea of Galilee on this stormy day. By the time he got to gracious or heavenly, he would have sounded like this, glib, 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 as he went under. He didn't have time to pray some pretty prayer. He just prayed, Lord, save me. And that was enough. The Lord delivered him. No wonder he talked about God granting repentance to those of us who would perish otherwise. I had the great influence of the Huntley brothers in my life. The oldest one was Ted. He's now in his mid-90s. He's beginning to repeat himself a lot. He just resigned this church about a couple of years ago. And then there was Brother Buck, or William. And William passed away back in the late 80s, early 90s. I guess he had as much impact on my life as anyone. And then there's, well, John, I believe, is even older than Buck was. He's 92 now, clear as a bell, clear as a bell. And then there's the baby, Wade. All four of them called of God to preach. Brother Buck, Brother William told me this story. He said, Brother Tom, back in the Korean War, when all of our boys were going to war, off of Middle Fork, that's where they lived, over in that little community, mountainous community. He said it looked like all the boys were going to end up going to war. And he said the women in our community, oh, he said we had some wonderful prayer warriors. And he would mention the main Doogie Connor and others who prayed, prayed, and prayed. And he said, Brother Tom, you'd hear mothers praying on their porch. You'd hear them praying up on the creek. You'd hear them praying down in a hollow, praying that God would save the boys and bring them back home. And here's his language. He said, it shouldn't surprise us, should it, Brother Hayes, that all the boys came home. Are you listening to me? Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Would you stand with me?